Hi, and welcome to the Effective Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dan, and we are going to be talking about being an effective teacher. Hey, everyone, welcome to the Effective Teaching Podcast. I'm Dan. Today, you're getting 20 ways to motivate your students. People often ask me, how do I motivate my kids? I've got kids, they're stuck, I can't get them to want to learn. And often to that, there's massive context in the background that needs to be addressed. But I'm gonna give you 20 different ways that you can motivate your students to learn. If you wanna get it, I'm gonna give this to you as a checklist as well that you can just print out a little PDF thing to help you as well, so you can easily refer to it later, put it up in your classroom if you like, or put it next to your desk on your desk somewhere to help you to think of ways that you can motivate your students for the next lesson or while you're planning out your units and stuff. If you want that, you just have to be subscribed, right? So go to the teacherspd.net. There's a subscribe button in the top right hand corner. Hit that button, subscribe, and then you will get this for you to listen to for you to read and refer back to. Okay, let's dive into them. Number one is to create a positive learning environment. And this is super important for us to create an atmosphere that is inclusive, where students can take risks and know that it is safe. Because learning involves taking risks, okay? And when you present a task to a student, they always have this risk. They look at it and go, am I likely to achieve this? If they think they are likely to achieve it, then they're probably gonna be motivated to do it. Okay, as long as it's not too easy. If it's too easy, they're going to go, that's nothing, right? It's way too easy. Then that demotivates them too. It's going to be something that's kind of challenging, but not too challenging. And they need to know that if they take a risk, so they're basically weighing this up. They're weighing up, I can take the risk and try and get this learning done, which they might go, I'll probably succeed. But if I don't, what's going to happen? And that's the thing that's going to really hinder their motivation. Because what's going to happen is that they're really weighing up this idea of, if it's too much of a risk, if I do this and I miss, right, they might go, oh, I'm 70% chance I'm going to get this right, but there's 30% chance I'm going to fail. If I fail, I know Johnny over here is going to say something. My friend over here is going to, laugh at me. The teacher might even say something, right? They might laugh as they come down to help me. And that's not great, right? We need to make sure that the environment is a positive learning environment, one where we encourage kids, in my class, you are going to take risks, you're going to fail, and I'm going to celebrate the fact that you got it wrong. Okay? I'm going to make this, that's part of learning, right? So you teach the kids, we're all going to get stuff wrong. No one's allowed to laugh at anyone because everyone's going to get stuff wrong in my class. And I expect you to. If you don't get stuff wrong, it means I'm not helping you enough. I'm not teaching you enough, right? You can set things up really well in your class for this positive learning environment that is going to help motivate your students to take the risks that are involved in learning. Okay, that's one, right? I've got 20 of these, so I can't spend too long on each one. Number two is to set clear expectations. Clearly communicate the learning objectives, the expectations, provide a roadmap for the students that they're going to follow to get to the point where they're achieving it. Basically, you're saying, this is where you're going to get to, and this is how I'm going to help you, or this is the process you're going to take to get there, and these are the steps you can expect to achieve on the way. And that helps the students know what to expect. It helps them to know when they're successful, but also gives them the motivation to go, okay, when I talked before about that, they're tossing up between the risk and whether or not they're going to be successful, you're basically showing how you're going to make sure that they are successful. Right? That's essentially what you're showing them when you're giving them the clear expectations. And the clear expectations around a positive learning environment, right? That's also a clear expectation. But as you're going, this is what we're going to learn, this is what it looks like when you've achieved it, and this is the steps we're going to take to get there. They go, all right, okay, well, we're doing step one. I can do step one, right? step two, and they all build up, and then they've reached that bigger goal, and that helps them with their motivation. The third tip to motivate your students is to use varied teaching methods, right? So don't keep using the same thing. Don't always come into your class and go, here's the worksheet, or read the textbook, or you're going to present a PowerPoint, or come in and they all know, well, the first 5 minutes we're going to spend reading, right? We're going to do our silent reading. And then after that, we're going to do some comprehension questions, or, every lesson we start with a bit of a recap from last lesson, and then we're going to get into groups and discuss stuff, and we're going to go and do this. Like, if it's always the same, it's boring. You can't have things always the same. So vary it up, change things up. present stuff, have group tasks, get them to debate things, use technology 1 week, no technology another time. Like, just keep things changing and different. It'll help to mix it up to motivate your students, right? So you get it, and it motivates them because they, one, it's different, right? And people generally like to do stuff that's a bit different, not massively different, right? Not too different, but different enough that they're like, oh, actually, you know, I've been sitting at desks all day, listening to other teachers talk and doing book work. Finally, I'm in a class that's not that, right? And so they get excited, like, oh, fine, I can get out of my seat, right? These kids are sitting down all day. Get them out of their seat, get them doing stuff, change up your methods. So number four is to make the learning relevant. So we need to be clear with our students about how what they're learning in the classroom relates to their life outside of school. I think this is something that we neglect a bit, and it's why we get our students asking, you know, why do we have to learn this? Or why? Like, give them the why. It's important. Okay, we need to start with why in order to motivate people. Right? There's a whole talk about it on TEDx or something. Like, it's one of the most watched TED Talks around. I think it's called The Golden Rule or something. And the guy, I think it's Simon, I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, Sinek or something. He talks about, you know, why needs to be first, right? Start with why, then tell me how and what, right? So you're moving your way out of this kind of golden circle thing that he does. But the same applies for our students. To motivate them for their learning, we need to tell them why they are learning this. How does it relate to the real world, to their real life? We need to make sure that we're clear on those things for our students. It makes a big difference for their motivation. Number five, we need to provide constructive feedback. Okay, now this is different to being critical. Okay, don't just criticize your students, right? We're going to provide constructive feedback, offer timely, specific feedback to help students understand their progress, right? And how they can keep going, right? So you basically say, oh, this is where you're at, right? You've moved from here to there, and we're heading in this direction. So the next thing you need to do is this, okay? That's constructive feedback. Don't just go, well, you didn't get here, right? Go, you were here and you've moved forward. Congratulations, right? And now this is the next steps as we continue to move forward. Because for our students to see their previous success and the fact that they are making progress, it's very motivational to keep going. Okay, one of the things we forget to do is to look back and go, hey, when we started this year, you guys didn't even know how to do algebra, right? You didn't know that you could do maths with letters. But here we are, we're doing algebra, and we're now at this point, right? We're doing multiplications and divisions and whatever else using algebra, and you know how to understand now Pythagoras' theorem of, you know, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, all that kind of stuff, right? We can see, show them their progress, and that helps them to be motivated and go, right, I am improving and I will keep improving if I keep doing the work, right? And that's one of the things, that providing that constructive feedback of where they've come from and what to do next when in terms of achieving the next goal, right? Be specific about what's going on. Number six is to encourage collaboration. Okay, actually give the students a sense of working together with each other to achieve something. Because we do find, like, when you put students in like a group of three, for example, to achieve a common goal, okay, the collaboration becomes motivational. They don't want to let their friends down. They don't want to let other students down, right? And so they want to work together to achieve it. And they bring other people up because they don't want to fail and they don't want that person to fail. So I'm going to help you, right, to catch up to where we're at. And then we're all going to move together and go forward. And so collaboration can really foster a good community, which then builds that level of motivation because they motivate each other then. Number seven is to incorporate some technology. So kids generally like lessons that involve technology. So if you have lots of lessons that don't involve technology, doing a couple with technology can help motivate them. I will say though, if you always use technology, then that is kind of like going back to the constantly doing the same thing as a teacher, and you need to vary that up. Okay. Sometimes I see students get really motivated because, hey guys, we're not using computers today. Here's some paper. Here's a pen, right? Here's some books. Okay. We're going to do some research old school way. Right, I want you to read stuff, I want you to take notes, I want you to share your notes. Okay, and you can change, so it doesn't have to be using that, but just that breaking up. And so if you've been doing lots of kind of paperwork or bookwork or whatever, by bringing in technology or bringing in different technology even is beneficial. Like, it's one thing to show a movie that's kind of not exciting, and the kids might get excited about it, but it's not motivating for learning necessarily. But then you want to shift to, you know, how, teaching them how to do specific things. If you're like in creative arts and stuff, maybe there's a new camera that your school just got that you're going to let the students have a look at, and you're going to show them all the benefits of using it and what it can do, right? Kids can get excited and motivated about that. Oh, we're going to get to use this cool new camera. Awesome, right? Or maybe there's something else that's, you know, you're bringing in VR maybe, and then you're going to do some virtual reality. You got these goggles on for the students for the first time, and then some students are like, I've never done this before in my life. This is weird, right? It feels a bit strange in my head. Right, don't do it for too long, because there is actually stuff about how it affects them long term, like 5-10 minutes maybe. But incorporate some new technology, right? So if you're always on the computers, don't always be on the computers, basically, and vice versa. Okay, number 8, you can offer the students some choices. We want to make sure that our students are getting a sense of autonomy in their learning. And so if they can choose, and they can choose lots of things, right? They can choose sometimes the content, sometimes, right? Other times they can choose where they're applying the skills that they've learned, or where they're applying the knowledge that they've learned. And so giving them as much choice as you can allows them autonomy, and that helps to motivate them in their learning. So offering choices for our students, even if it's just, you know, do you want to do A, B, or C, right? They get to choose it. It'll increase their motivation. You know, you guys, you chose to do this learning, so you should be able to get that done. It works, okay? It's amazing, but it works. It also helps reduce fights and stuff. Even with my kids, you know, if I'm talking to my daughter about getting dressed for the day, rather than going, you know, go and get yourself dressed, or here's, go put this on. I tell you, look, here's 3 dresses. Which one do you want to choose? And she's like, oh, I'll choose that one. Put it on, right? No tantrums or anything about, I don't want to wear that dress, whatever, right? She chose the dress that was provided. So give us that motivation. Number 9, we're going to set some goals. Make sure our students know what the goals are, the steps to getting there, all that kind of stuff, right? So setting goals is motivational. It is strange, though, like the setting of the goals is exciting. Then when they start to get into working towards those goals, it becomes hard and they get discouraged a bit. So go back to them regularly and go, remember those goals, have a look at them, refine them, right? And keep focusing on them. It helps to improve the motivation for the learning. Number 10 is to use positive reinforcement. So recognize and reward the positive behaviors, right? So when the students are engaged, when they're doing the right things, right? That's when you're like, oh, awesome guys, you're doing this amazing. Yeah. And you don't have to give them like lollies and treats or anything, or tell them they can now go outside and play. No. Just give them some kind of recognition, praise, and go, wow, you guys are working really hard. I love seeing you work hard. It means that you're learning, right? It means you're going to get something new. It means we're working towards our goals. Right? That kind of talk, right, is a sense of positive reinforcement for our students as well with their learning. Okay, number 11, I don't know, I can't do that with my fingers anymore, is to connect learning to personal interests. Okay, so this is part of the reason why it's so important for us to get to know our students, is that we start to know the things that they really like. And so if we can then connect what we're teaching to those personal interests, so maybe you'll come across a student and they really, really like cricket. Okay, and so you're going to go, oh, okay, you really like cricket, so I'm going to let you create a story that has to do with cricket. I'm going to let you read a biography about a famous cricket player. I'm going to let you do your math calculations with cricket-related questions. Or you're going to come up, they're going to create the questions maybe, and try and stump you as a teacher as you try and answer them or something. Like, you can utilize that interest to then motivate them in their learning. Number 12, provide autonomy, giving the students control over their learning. You can give them control over the design of their learning. You can co-design learning with them. You can co-design a lesson with them if you don't want to do a whole unit or something. You could give them the choices, right? We talked about choices already, but that's about providing autonomy to our students as they go forward. Number 13 is to create a sense of ownership. And so actually helping our students to see that this is their learning, okay? And so we can talk to them about, you know, I mean, providing choices and autonomy helps with that, helps to create that sense of ownership. But you want to involve students in the decision-making processes that are happening that are related to classroom activity. Help them to come up with the rules, right? You want them to be focused and quiet at times. Say, hey, guys, like, what should we have as our rule when it comes to noise? Which points in time for what activities that are happening? Where do you want to do, you know, your individual learning? Where might we do group learning? How might we structure that? Give them that sense of ownership over what they're doing. It will help motivate them and encourage them with their learning. Number 14 is to make learning fun. Please, Take whatever you're doing and make it fun. There is nothing worse for learning than a student who is bored in your class. And that means if you're doing the same thing over and over again, right, it's going to get boring. If you're doing the same thing that all the other teachers are doing, that's boring. Okay, if you're standing at the front talking the whole time, kids are bored. If you're giving them textbooks to read, they are bored. Okay, you need to find things that energize your classroom, that makes the learning fun, right? Get them doing really hands-on practical things, take them outside, change the environment, all kinds of stuff, right? Start to embed fun into your learning in your class. Number 15 is to utilize competitions, right? So to kind of gamify your class a bit. Now, whether you're pro or against competitions, it's not really like, I'm not going to get into that debate so much, but competition does motivate students in learning. Okay, and I've done competitions where it's not so much about, you know, one key, like, yeah, they're not versing each other so much, but it's about who's going to improve the most as a group, right? And so there's a collaborative nature to them working together. And so there's like a pre kind of where are they at, and then who's going to improve the most over the next 3 weeks. And so the groups work hard together and to help each other improve the whole time. And then, all right, when we get to, all right, awesome, you got this much better, you got that much better, that's amazing. There's kind of competition, but also collaboration in that. Or you can just have straight out competitions. It does motivate at least some of your students. Definitely doesn't motivate all of them. Some of them will look at a competition and go, nah, I'm not going to do this. I'm not into competitions because I always lose, right? It motivates those higher achievers to have a competition. So maybe you'll take the higher achievers inside and go, hey, let's make this a bit of a competition. So you can do this the best or whatever, like whatever the context of your class allows for. Okay, 16. 16, I think, is kind of a no-brainer, but I've seen plenty of the unexcited teachers giving lessons. So 16 is to show enthusiasm for what you're doing, okay? So don't go into your lesson and go, oh, guys, this is, I've got a headache, I don't want to do this, but here's a lesson, right? No kid's excited to learn. That's not going to motivate your students. But if you are enthusiastic, if you go into that class, dudes, we are going to learn. Don't say dudes, right? But guys, we're going to be learning this amazing thing today. I think this is going to blow your mind. Like, this is so cool. And then, oh, you might, I've got this awesome thing planned for this awesome activity. It's going to be so much fun when we do this together. You know, I love this topic. I'm so passionate about this topic. You know, and it can be stuff that isn't generally cool, but if you are enthusiastic about it, it will generally improve the motivation of your students to get the learning done anyway, even if it's something that they are not enthusiastic about. If they are sitting there listening to you go on and on about, oh, I love poetry, man, poetry's so cool, we're gonna write poetry, right? Some kids sit there going, I hate poetry, this is the worst, but because you're enthusiastic, it will improve their motivation, right? Won't necessarily make them as enthusiastic as you, but it will improve it. So they might get something done for that lesson. Number 17 is facilitate some self-reflection. And particularly, I'm going to encourage you with your self-reflection to look at, you have the students look at where they were, where they are now, where they want to go. Where were you before? What have you learned since then? What have you learned this week, right? How have you improved? What are you looking forward to improving as we work towards our goal next? What's the next step for you? That kind of stuff helps our students to see the progress, which motivates them, right? That self-reflection, what got in my way, what's hindering my learning, what can I do about those barriers to my learning, right? So I got stuck, I got distracted trying to find this particular article. It took me half an hour. So I'm just going to ditch that article now. I'm not going to chase that thing that'll help me go forward and make sure I'm more profitable, more, you know, effective, really, in their learning. So we can build in that kind of stuff. 18, building in real-world examples. So actually having questions and stuff that are based on the real world. Giving scenarios or the real world scenarios where they're applying concepts that they're learning, making sure that these things relate to their real life, really. So this kind of goes back to one of the earlier things, but providing real world examples helps them to see the connections to their real life. And so you can see, you can kind of stack some of these motivational strategies on top of each other to really help, you know, massively increase the motivation for your students by stacking things. We're going to have, you know, students making their own choices. They're involved in the decision-making, taking ownership of their learning and being more autonomous. And I'm going to also be enthusiastic and show the students how it really connects to their life, and that's going to motivate them as well. And I have this real-world scenario example that we're going to use as well. Like that's all fantastic stuff to help motivate our students with their learning. Number 19 is to offer supportive resources, right? So that's your scaffold, your templates, all that kind of stuff to help the students to see the steps and the processes that are involved in achieving success. This is going to relate to that idea of, you know, they're balancing up this risk that they've got to take and the safety of their classroom, right? So by providing the supportive resource, you're making it more likely that they will be successful, which makes them less likely to be worried about the risk of not being successful, right? And so that improves their motivation. And finally, number 20 is to celebrate diversity, right? Recognize and appreciate the diverse backgrounds, the different perspectives that are presented, the different talents in your class, and the different contributions that the students are making to the learning, right? By fostering a sense of belonging as a class, creating that kind of overall class community, and celebrating the fact that someone has a different opinion to you, right? That helps drive deeper learning when someone has a different opinion. And so you can show the students that when someone in your class, student in your class goes, sir, that's not right because blah, 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 blah. You go, right, come up here and explain it to me. I want to understand why you think this is wrong, why you think this is better, right? Have them do that and go, oh, that's cool. I like your different opinion. I like that you suggested that I'm wrong, but maybe if you can see it from my perspective, right, I can see that why you've got that, and then you can explain yours a bit more. And together as a class, you're going to see deeper learning happening because of the different perspectives that are being accepted and celebrated, and not just going, oh, you're wrong too. Like if kids, oh, you're wrong, they go, oh, what would you know? You're a kid, right? Just go, well, explain that to me, right? I want to understand why you think that's wrong. At the very least, if they are completely wrong, right? This is a factual situation. You go, well, do you know what? I can see there that you have misunderstood this concept, and then you can correct that concept for the student, and that will also help motivate them. Go, oh, okay, now that I've got that, this now makes more sense. Going forward, the rest of the learning for the lesson's going to be making more sense because they've corrected that previous misunderstood prior knowledge that they may have needed for the learning. Well, that's it. That's 20 ways that you can help motivate the students in your classroom. If you want to grab the PDF of this, just go to teacherspde.net, hit the subscribe button, and I'll send you a little PDF of this. It'll also mean that you get the other emails I send out reminding you, you know, there's a new episode out, or, you know, I've got a course that's going to come out early next year about helping teachers to reduce their workload and become more effective. And so if you want to know about that when that comes out, you know, make sure you're subscribed, because that's how you'll hear all about it at that as well. So that's it for this week's episode. I hope that you get to start applying these. I would love to hear from you in the sense, like if you've applied two or three of these strategies, you're like, wow, it actually made a difference. I saw this kid who I've been struggling to get motivated for ages suddenly go, oh, awesome, right? I sat down with them and gave them a sense of ownership over their learning. I co-designed their learning for the next 5 lessons, right? And so suddenly they're motivated. They're doing the things that they helped design that they want to do, but also is achieving the outcomes and stuff that you need to be achieving, right? That I want to hear those kind of things. I love hearing stories from teachers. I would even love to interview some of you. If you're taking anything from any of these podcast episodes and applying them and getting success with that, I would love to interview and chat to you, because that will help others to see how it works too, and to be motivated to try things out as well. Because one of the things that we need to keep doing as teachers is keep trying out the things that we're learning and testing them and seeing the differences that they make and reflecting on that kind of process. But hit the subscribe. I can send you this document with 20 ways to motivate your students, and make sure that you come back and join me again in a couple of days' time when I release the next episode of the Effective Teaching Podcast, guys. This is it. We are getting more and more effective every day.